Good morning, brothers and sisters. First scripture reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Second reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. Will be able to teach others also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Brothers and sisters, may I invite us to stand for the gospel reading. The gospel reading this morning is taken from the gospel according to John, chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 5, 9 to 14, and verse 16. And we all respond together. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. This is the gospel of Christ. Please be seated.
Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise You for bringing us into the start of a new year. And we thank You, Lord, for the reminder on New Year's Eve, Lord, that You are doing a new thing. You are taking us to a new place, and You are bringing us to greater heights. So we pray, O Lord, this morning as we begin our first service of the year, that You will speak to us through Your Holy Spirit and through Your Word. And Lord, open Your heart to us, that we may know how we may serve You and grow in You in the year 2026. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. I have the privilege every first service of the year to set for us the the focus and the direction for the coming year. But I want to be very clear that I'm not setting a new vision, because the vision that the Lord has set for us is already to be a witnessing community of praying and caring worshippers who base their life on scripture, move in the power of the Holy Spirit to reach a world in need of Christ. That is a vision that we will be pursuing until the day that Christ returns. But every year or every few years, it is necessary for us to sharpen our focus of what the Lord wants to lead us to in the immediate present future. So for this coming year, it's good to just do a quick recap of where the Lord has taken us from the dark days of the COVID pandemic, where we were just gathering in groups of 5 or 20 and so on, until the time that we were able to open up for larger services. And yet in the midst of all that, the construction of our nursing home, our church annex, our preschool was happening. Although it was delayed, but by the grace of God, it all came to a completion. And in 2022, we were able to dedicate our church afresh for a new season as SJSM Village. Not just a church that gathers to worship, but a church that emanates its light, that extends its reach, that casts its care over the entire Dover region. And I hope that you understand that SJSM Village is not just the boundary wall of our church, including the nursing home, but even going beyond our active aging center, Kopi Stop, and even our student care center, after school care, that is also part of SJSM Village. And we were very blessed. In the past 2 years before I became vicar, we had Reverend Victor Teo as our previous vicar to sharpen our focus on radical hospitality. Because radical hospitality is putting others first, is considering their needs above our own, making room in our hearts for one another and for others. And that is so essential in order for us to be a community of caring worshippers, not just coming just for ourselves. It's so important so that we can reach out to a world in need. And we praise God that last Christmas, just before Christmas, 20th December, we had our most recent edition of Dover Celebrates Christmas. And although the time is shorter, only 4 hours, but the feedback that we receive from the grassroots leaders in Dover and even from the residents of Dover who came to join us is that this year is different. This year, there's so much more buzz, there's so much more connection, there's so much more friendship being formed. And I thank God that this is the result of the Holy Spirit installing in us and instilling in us what is meant by radical hospitality. So as we move forward, we need to sustain this. But the question is, how do we sustain or even deepen radical hospitality? Because if we do not tap into something deeper than merely, serving food, giving directions, saying hello. These are all external actions, which are very good. This is where people are touched. But unless it comes from a deeper place, then we cannot sustain it. Then after a while, we will go back to our self-centered ways. We will go back to our own holy huddles. How do we do so? I believe that we move forward, we deepen in radical hospitality, not by doing more things. Because SJSM, we are already a very active church. We are already having a lot of programs, a lot of events, a lot of lessons, a lot of classes. There are lots of opportunities to participate and learn and do and serve and so on and so forth. It's not about doing more things. Neither is about doing greater things. It's not about having the next big idea so that we can win this award or we can be the leader in this or we can excel in that. No, I believe God has already carved out a parcel for us. Yes, we will have new ideas. Yes, we will do new things every now and then, all right? But we cannot keep on adding things. But there's one thing I believe we need to do. It is to do everything with a distinctive of love. To do everything with a distinctive of love. I want to thank Fred and the worship team for leading us in the songs this morning, because it's all about the love of God. Putting our finger on that pulse that beats with the love of God, that is what is going to deepen us in our capacity to show radical hospitality even beyond, even for years to come. That's why Mother Teresa said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And that is, I believe, the focus that God is giving us for the next year and maybe even the next 2-3 years after that. That is to cultivate a DNA in SJSM. Yes, we are already very relational. You are very hospitable. We are all very hospitable. And we have a lot of wonderful relationships in the church. But is it deep enough in our DNA so that at all times, no matter what happens, we deal with one another, we deal with people in the church, out of the church, in a genuinely relational manner. More than getting the job done. More than just the statistics. More than just the programs. More than just efficiency and more than execution. But seeking meaningful and transformative relationships and interactions with God and with one another. I believe this is where the Lord is leading us. And I don't think this will happen unless we commit ourselves to it. Because the opposite of it is much easier. The opposite of being relational is being transactional. Transactional means you need this, I give you this, go. Don't talk too much. In fact, my father used to say I spend too much time in church. My father believes that you can get everything you need to be done in church in a fraction of the time. Just do it and move on. But I've been brought up differently by my mother to be much more relational. It's not just about the doing, but how do we connect? Who are you? Who am I? What's our story? And to go deeper. And I believe this is the challenge before us. How can we develop this culture of authentic relationality? I want to begin this Sunday by sharing with us 3 key areas of what authentic relationality looks like. And I want to begin and spend more of my time to talk about the first area. The other areas we can unpack later on in the year. And the first area is that authentic relationality begins not with us, but begins with God. Because God is intrinsically relational. God Himself is not just one, but He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Living in a dynamic, loving relationship with each other. You see how Jesus talks about His Father. You know how the Father affirms the Son. You know the role of the Holy Spirit in drawing attention to the Son and the Father and so on. It's a deeply relational entity. One God, but 3 persons. And that's why in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, that talks about our creation. Genesis tells us, then God said, let us make man. Not let me, but let us. We are made in that relational image of God. We are made with a capacity. In fact, not just capacity, with a need. We are made with a need to connect. Initially, when Adam was born, yes, he connected with God, but he was alone. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And that's why God created woman to be with him. All right. Of course, then the rest of it is history. Okay. But it is not just about my family, but first of all, with God. Because God has created us to model our relationality after His relationality. We are born again, we are saved, so that we can be immersed in God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the way that God loves us is an overflow of the way that the love in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit overflows to us. But very often in church, and as we talk about different things, sometimes we get this a little bit out of whack. Because authentic relationality is about relating with God as a person. But sometimes we get caught up in language and we can't get caught up with different perspective about faith that looks at God more as a judge rather than as a loving Father. And sometimes church can become very judgy. And we become judgy because we think that that's the only way that God relates with us. God is about telling us what is right and what is wrong. And if we think that is how God is, then we will relate to each other. Hey, wrong, 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 wrong. Oh, right. Okay, my gang. Wrong. They are gang, you know. And then that is a misrepresentation of God because we have gotten God wrong. Yes, God will judge one day. God will judge those who insist on rebelling against Him. But that day is in the future. John chapter 3 verse 16, we're all very familiar. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. But very often we forget verse 17. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The gospel story is not one of judgment. The gospel story is one of forgiveness and of salvation, of acceptance. So God is a person. He wants us to relate to him, not as a judge. And he's also not just a power to get things done. He's also not a game or a toy by which we entertain ourselves. But he is a person who longs to have a relationship with us. And we see that relationship right in the Gospel of John that we just read. He was in the world. He has come into the world. And the world was made through him. We all belong to God, right? And yet, the saddest words in the Bible, and yet, the world did not know him. We belong to him, but we disowned him. We rejected him. He came to his own, even to his own people. They did not receive him. That is a tragedy. But this is God who doesn't give up. God willingly made himself vulnerable. Every time we reject him, he comes to us again. Every time we say no to him, he tries again another time. And he takes our rejection not as a sign that this is the end of you, but he takes it as we are not ready. And he continues to bless us. He continues to guide us. He continues to reach out to us. So that one day, when we have reached a point in our journey, when we realize that, hey, I really need God. And God is still there. Then we open our hearts to him. And then verse 12 says, to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So this is how God relates to us. This is his relationality. He refuses to give up, continues to reach out, continues to be vulnerable, continues to offer himself to be a part of our life. So what are we to do? I believe we are called to walk with God in faith. He knows us even before we know him. Even from our mother's womb, where we were knitted together in secret, God already has his eye on you. He already knows your name. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then take him seriously. If you believe that, then draw near to him. Reciprocate. Relationality requires two-way flow. And though God comes to us, we reject him. But he keeps coming and he keeps coming. He doesn't give up. But there need to come a point in time where we say, yes, Father, I surrender to you. And I want to walk with you willingly. I know you will not force me, but I want to willingly walk with you. That's called gratitude. It's an acknowledgement that God has been so generous. And that is surrender. We say, Lord, I give up my resistance. I want you to be part of my life because without you, I am nothing. So, authentic relationality is not something that we can do on our own, but it has to be an overflow of our response to God. So let's begin there. Relate to God spiritually and deeply as a person, not as some kind of magic power, not as just metaphors, but as a person, so that we may know him and we can be with him. We can enjoy his presence. We can be amazed by him. Every time I see a sunrise or a sunset, I'm amazed by the beauty of God. Every time I see a flower bud, I see the life of God. I see the generosity of God. Every time I see animals, even tiny little ones, or even crystals, what God has created, I'm amazed by him. And I am inspired to draw near to him, to imitate him. That is what it means to relate to God and to serve him with joy. Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. So don't serve the Lord as if you don't serve him, he will punish you. That's the wrong reason to serve God. But serve him because it's a privilege to co-labor along with God. Let me tell you a secret. Every time I stand here with fear and trembling. Every time I stand here, I know no matter how I'm saying this to the theological students, in case you think you're better, okay? Or in case you think you'll outgrow this, you won't. Every time I stand here, I'm very vulnerable because I know whatever mistakes I made, people will remember a long time. But I also know that I'm not standing here as me. You can judge me, that's fine. You can remember my mistakes, that's fine. But I stand here because the Lord has called me to let my voice, to let my eye contact, to let my physicality, to let whatever I am, the thoughts I have prepared, to be used by God to connect with you. And that's all that matters. And it is God that is carrying us through. That's why we can continue serving with joy. And even if we are weak, even if we are not that good, we can still serve with joy because God takes what is not perfect, but God does something beautiful with it, serving with joy. And when you serve like that, then we can rest in Him. Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavily laden, I will give you rest. That rest doesn't mean we don't do anything, but we do what the Lord has called us to do, trusting that He is doing the larger part of it. He is the one that is going to make it work. I am just the placeholder. I'm just there as a privilege that He has given to me. So with that as the foundation, authentic relationality begins with responding to God, because everything starts with God. Then from there, we imitate God. We overflow that kind of culture, that kind of welcome, that kind of vulnerability, that kind of relentless refusal to give up on other people into our relationship with one another. So from there, authentic relationality is expressed in walking with one another as fellow pilgrims. Pilgrims are there on their own journey, but they are also on a journey together. And this journey is one of faith, trusting God to carry us to the end point, but it is also a journey of transformation. No one ends the pilgrimage the same person as they were when they began the pilgrimage. Because along the pilgrimage, God works in us. He works in us by giving us strength. He works in us through the circumstances we experience. He works in us, most importantly, through fellow pilgrims. As we exchange stories, as we encourage one another, as we strengthen one another in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul says to Timothy. You, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. As we journey together, then something very spiritual, something very amazing happens. It is not just we come, we did, and we went home. But we came, we interacted, we connected, we related in God. And because it is in God, I go home a different person. I go home encouraged. I go home inspired. I go home humbled. I go home whatever God is doing in my life. That is the transformation. So I want to encourage us as we enter into the rest of our life as SJSM. Yes, we'll do many things together. We'll make many decisions together. There'll be many projects and many activities, and we will all participate. But it is not just participating for the sake of participating. It is not just about the success of the event. It's not about doing it right, doing it wrong, doing it my way or doing it your way or my way or the highway, you know. Let's not do that, because that is the way of the world. That is putting the activity above our relationship with one another. So if SJSM were to have this culture of authentic relationality, then our one anotherness is more important than how the thing is done. And we relate to one another, not because I'm higher or you're lower. Just because I'm vicar doesn't mean anything. You know, once I went to a church, I went to visit the church before I started with the vicar. I was going to be the vicar in several weeks' time. I just went to visit them. And some of the leaders said to me, oh, Pastor, you are coming to our church, so you are our next boss. We want to get to know you so that we know how to work with you because you will be our next boss. I really panicked. I said, you know, brother, I'm not your boss. God has not called me to be your boss. Because if I start to think that as a vicar, I'm your boss, then I will be corrupted into thinking that this is a position of power, that this is a position of privilege, of people submitting to me. No, it's not. I'm not your boss. In fact, if anything, only Christ is our boss. And if anything, we should be each other's boss, so that we give way to each other, we support each other, we listen to one another, we uphold one another. So from then I started encouraging the church, let's not have this boss idea. You know why? Because if they look up to me as boss, that means they expect others to look up to them as boss. And then throughout the church, it'll be a hierarchy. Who is the boss of whom? And where is Christ in the midst of that? So we are fellow pilgrims. Can we agree? So if there's something I can improve, tell me. If there's something I'm weak in, besides telling me, also please pray for me. Because most of the time, I probably know where my weakness is. But I need your prayer. I need your support and encouragement. Tell me I can do it. And I will do the same with you. And we will journey together. And being a brother is more important. Being a sister is more important than having the most successful event. Than having great statistics. 1,500, not enough. SJSM, 2,000, 3,000. No, that's not the way we do church. But it is about journeying together. Whatever the numbers will be, thanks be to God. And I think if we have the right culture, the numbers will increase. Because if there is a culture that is truly edifying, truly encouraging, I believe more people will want to be part of this. Especially people who have never tasted the love of God. So from our relationality with God, then our relationality with each other, and then finally our relationality with the non-believing world. I believe that we are called to bear witness for Christ winsomely, not by arguing and proving that we are better than others, not by putting down others, not by insulting and criticizing and judging, but through genuine relationships of love and care for people who do not yet know Christ. In the first century, the non-believers were looking at the Christians as they reach out, not that as they not only love one another, but they also pour that love out to non-believers. And what the non-Christians are saying is, see how they love each other. See how they love. Even Jesus himself said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples when you love one another. Our witness is not by arguing philosophically why we are a better religion than others. And not by telling people that God will judge you if you don't believe. That is a sure way to turn people away from the gospel. Christ himself has said, when you love one another, and when that love overflow to them, they will know that you are my disciples. And they will know that not only do I love you, but I love them as well. And they will respond, not out of threat, not out of trying to be in a more in group, but they will respond because everyone needs love and they want to taste this same love. So that's true in our relationship with our colleagues, our neighbors, our co-workers, but it's also true in our relationship with even our own young people as we did our next gen pledge today. Paul writes to Timothy. He not only calls Timothy my child in the faith, but he acknowledged that the faith that Timothy had has been modeled after the faith of his mother, Eunice, who in turn has been modeled after the faith of his grandmother, her grandmother, Timothy's grandmother, Lois. Despite the fact that Timothy's father was not from the Jewish tradition. So in a sense, Timothy had a faith that is more deeply rooted thanks to her mother, thanks to his mother and grandmother, than even his own father, because his father was a Gentile, a Greek, not of the Jewish faith. But you see how that modeling, how that loving, how that caring, how that relationship caused the faith to grow. So with this, I want to encourage all of us, let's begin the year with the love of God, as our worship team has guided us. But not to treat the love of God as just a commodity, but behind the love, behind the feelings, behind the emotion, behind the material benefits, the blessing, there is a person. Let's not only take the gift and forget the giver. Let's not only enjoy his presence, TS, presence, Christmas present, but don't want to enjoy his presence, CE, presence. It is in the presence of God that his presence become meaningful. So start from there. Let's take God as a person, relate to him, be transformed by him. And from then, then overflow from our walk with God to our walk with one another as fellow pilgrims. And then extend that love, extend that relationality, even to non-believers, as we bear winsome witness through genuine relationships. So this morning, I want to invite you to stand with me. Let's stand together. We will have the whole year to talk about this, but today, I want to begin with at the very beginning. Does it begin with you? Does it begin with me? Does it begin with the program of the church? It begins with a God whose love refuses to give up. And we have received that love. Out of His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Let's pause for a moment. Let's begin with gratitude, shall we? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Nothing to see up here. As you close your eyes, just see God in His relentless giving. See God in His fullness in Jesus Christ, poured out grace upon grace. See the cross, overcoming rejection. See the blood, overcoming our sins. See, hear the faint voice of Jesus, Father, forgive them. Wiping away all our sins. Hear His voice saying, today you will be with me in paradise. And just thank Him, Lord, for the privilege of becoming your child. How can we thank you enough, O Lord, for your relentless love, for your limitless relationality? For that's who you are. God, you are relational. God, you are love. And because of you, because of who you are, we stand today with the hope of salvation, with the blessing of one another, with the greatest gift of your Holy Spirit and your presence with us. So Father, this morning, as we begin the first service of the year, we want to set this thing right, this one thing above all, Lord, to be close to you, to walk deeply with you, to know you, not just intellectually, but to know you spiritually, to know you heart to heart. And I pray, O Lord, that we may know you not just for your benefits, but we may know you in order to be like you, so that you may transform our relationships with one another and transform our relationships even with the unbelieving world, so that you may use us to bring that love to everyone who has yet to know you. Thank you for the privilege. Here we are, Lord. Thank you for your radical hospitality. Now transform us, Lord, as we give ourselves to you, as we pray that you will make us a church that is truly relational. For we pray all this in the loving and gracious and powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah.